equipment when I went to Virginia Tractor, David knows. And they knew I was moving up to Northern Virginia. My dad, it was like, you know, a few weeks to go. You know, I'm 18. I'm running around, you know, with my buddies, man. Just, you know, what you do when you're 18. And my dad said, hey, he was out by the garage. He said, you know, how about spending a little time around with your mom? He said, she's going, you know, take it kind of hard, you moving away. But I think really it was hard on him too, you know, moving. I mean, I wasn't going, and years later went in the Navy, and, you know, your parents, both my parents are gone. I know a lot of you here, same situation. It's just tough. But we got our dads, and I know my dad, my parents, they appreciate, they raised me right, and somehow along the way I fell off track, fell off track from that, but I got back on, and you know, God's been good, and you know, thank God for things. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll share what the Bible says here. Help us a little bit, maybe as fathers, and even just as Christians, this would apply to everybody. This is to the Jews and Israelites. Of course, Moses had is speaking. And he said this, he said, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we do thank you for our fathers today, Lord. Thank you for the fathers that are here. And then, Lord, we thank you for being our father, Lord. Thank you for your wisdom and guidance. And I pray that you encourage us today, Lord. Help us through your word. I pray that for each father here, Lord, they search their hearts, Lord, and as far as the relationship that they have with you goes, and then also the relationship they have with their children and even with their parents, Lord, and we know that you can speak to us through your word, through the preaching of your word. I pray that you pour your spirit out upon this meeting today, Lord, that we know you're here with us, and we thank you so much for loving us, and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, Are You Ready for Father's Day? You know, a lot of times when holidays come along and like Christmas time, how many, you go to the grocery store, maybe you meet somebody or the cashier even, sometimes you'll say, are you ready for Christmas, right? But how many times does somebody ask you, are you ready for Father's Day? You know, you might look at them kind of blankly like, well, you know, what do you do to get ready for Father's Day, right? Usually not much, right? But I want to ask the fathers here, and I want to ask you this, are you ready for Father's Day? Are you ready for Father's Day? You know, I was sharing this recently and with some folks and others, and we know this, that listen, Satan's real, the devil's real, and he attacks everything that God established. I don't care what the church, marriage, motherhood, womanhood, manhood. Listen, the prayer meeting that we have on Tuesday, the whole gist behind this and the burden that I have had and the men that got started with this prayer meeting, has been for us to be the men that God intended for us to be. Listen, I mean, the devil skews everything that's out there today. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things is under attack, and you know this, is manhood itself, even to the point where they say, well, if you're going to be a man, if you're going to be a Christian man, that a Christian man somehow is portrayed as some wimpy guy that doesn't, you know, you got to talk like an angel and, you know, hands soft like mine. some lady told me one time I had the softest hands in here, even over to women, man. I didn't know if that was a compliment or what, but... you know, I mean, you don't have, we can be men and love God. You know, Satan's got us so messed up today that the thought of love is like is taken to be some kind of feminine thing, something that a man can't do, that we can't tell somebody, another man even. Of course, the way society's at today, you got to be careful with it, but you can tell another man that you love him like a brother, man. I mean, you know, it's not a sexual connotation there attached with that. We've gotten so, it's not manly to say that to somebody, you know. So, Satan's got manhood under attack and fatherhood is under attack as well. And so, you know, our meeting on Tuesday night is really trying to help us, lead us back to being men that God intended for us to be. God's got a plan. Listen, the model man is a perfect man. I believe Adam was a man's man. I believe Eve was a woman's woman. I mean, I believe they were what God intended to be, and sin entered the world and has distorted everything. Now, I think that, you know, we men have relinquished some of our manly or fatherly or husbandly duties, mainly because of laziness a lot of times. So part of the blame, we'll have to take it ourselves. We can't blame, Flip Wilson used to say, blame the devil for everything. The devil made me do it, part of it. But then also the psychology of the world is moving against us. And, man is portrayed, if you watch, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but I've seen enough of it to know situation comedies and things, the husband, the father, the man is portrayed as some kind of bumbling idiot who's got to ask his wife for permission to go to the bathroom half the time, can't do anything. That's how it's portrayed, by Hollywood. When you think about, unfortunately through divorce and that, we understand this, it's maybe not as bad as it was, but when there's a child custody battle, the husband seldom gets, just because of the psychology of the world, the husband seldom gets, I mean, the mother's got to be really bad for the husband to get the custody of the children. They give it to the wife, but then the husband, he better pay, he's got to pay the money. They want the financial responsibility, and they've got a term, they even call it deadbeat dads. We got, deadbeat dads, they portray men that way, and some of that is rightfully so. It's rightfully earned, but you know what? For a mother, there's mothers out there that are just as negligent with their children as that. They don't have a term. They don't have a term for the mothers that are absentee mothers. But we got one for the fathers, and it shows you the attack on the men. And so as particularly fathers, I was reading a book, and I'll tell you how, the internet will mess you up sometime. I was looking at something, I was getting a little information off the internet, and there's a book that a guy had written called entitled, If I Could Do It All Over Again. And I said, it had 8 things if I could do it all over again. Well, man, I don't have my printers not working at home. I said, I'll come up to church, I'll print it off. Got up here, couldn't find the cotton picking thing. I was in there this morning. That's why I was late for choir. I was in there trying to get it. And I said, that's all right. I don't need that thing. I can write my own book on it if I could do it all over again. You know what? If I could do it all over again, what would I do? I'll tell you what, I thought about that and pondered this over and over in my head. I'll tell you what I would do if I could do it all over again. I wish I had got saved sooner than I did. I wish I had got saved sooner than I did. It's coming up on this August, and I don't know why the date, the 20th, is ringing a bell. I'm going to look it up. You can Google up everything now. I'm going to Google up the calendar from 1987 in August and see what day it was, because I know it was a Thursday night, so I can hit within 4 days of it, right? Four right dates. But I think it was August 20th. I got saved. It's 30 years ago I got saved. When I got saved, Danielle, they're over with Brian's dad over at their church today. Danielle was just a little baby sitting in diapers when I got saved. She was playing with one of them little old spring-loaded door stoppers, driving me crazy. I got saved when the preacher was dealing with me on my salvation that day right there. But reason I wish I had got saved sooner. Thank God I got saved when she was a baby. But what it is I didn't mature enough. You got the growth process that you got to go through after you get saved, and I was still trying to learn all the things, trying to get rid of the selfishness and the me first attitude. Took me a while to get rid of that, I wish I had got rid of it sooner before any of my children were born, because I would have learned some things. I would have been farther along in my Christian walk when when they were born, and so I could have set a better example. So I wish that I had been saved sooner so that I could have set a better example for my kids when I was coming up, so I learned how to pray and that my kids could see me pray a little bit sooner, and I'd have spent more time. I'm going to talk about it in a minute, about time that you spend with your family. I just would have probably done a lot of those things different, and God would have had time to work with my attitude and my temperament and my love quality and all those things if I had got saved sooner than I did with my kids being small. That's the number one thing I wish that I had done differently. And a lot of us, all of us here can probably look back and say, oh man, you know, because it's a trial. You don't want to raise your kids according to the world philosophy on how to be a dad. I'm going to tell you that right now. You want to raise your children according to the Word of God. That's the way to raise them right there. And I didn't, you know, I was struggling between them two things as I hadn't been saved very long. And all of us can look back and say, boy, if I had to do it all over again, huh? Boy, if I had to do it all over again, wouldn't, huh? I bet you there'd be more things that we'd have to fix than things that we leave alone, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be a lot of those things that we look back. And so we all wish we had been a better father than we were. And so, like I said, you know, how do we learn how to be a dad today? Like I said, you know, Hollywood, what are you going to look at? Homer Simpson and figure out how to be a dad and a father? And I don't watch Homer Simpson. I've just seen enough of the little clips on the advertisements to know I don't want to be Homer Simpson, right? Nobody, I don't guess anybody does. Or how Hollywood portrays it, I mentioned already. Not flattering, like I said, just some kind of bumbling idiot out there. Or how about this? How about the example that our fathers left us? Now, that's probably your number one way that you learn how to be a dad and a father, and that may be a good thing for you, but what about if it wasn't good? You know, some people, and listen, our dads probably weren't perfect either. We wish our dads probably would say just like we would say, I wish I had done some things different. They all might say that. And, you know, hopefully you had a good childhood. Hopefully you had a good dad. But there are dads that, you know, just for whatever reason, they weren't the best dads in the world. What about that? Well, now what are you going to do? You know, Hollywood's going to either have to tell you got a bad example. You might have had not a good example from your dad. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean you didn't love him. I'm just saying he might not have been the best example that you had, how to be a husband, how to be a dad. Now what do you got? Well, you know, we got the Word of God. Listen, God designed us. God put us here. We've got a plan on, God's got a plan for your life in every aspect of your life, how to be a husband, how to be a father, how to be an employee, how to be an employer, how to be a neighbor, how to be a church member. God's got it all covered, man. He's got it all covered. And so how do we look at the Word of God. So I just got 3 points I want to encourage you today. And before I forget, somebody's reminded me twice and I keep forgetting. We don't have a night service tonight on Father's Day, Mother's Day. No night service because you might have to go spend time with your dads. So no night service tonight. Just a reminder on that. Just a few times a year that we do it. We got that. So we look at the Word of God, encouragement and direction. The very first thing we see, I want to use this word love. Eileen got that. Brian usually puts the zip drive in for us today, and somehow he went to the shortcut and it didn't work. So Eileen's probably working overtime to get notes up. But if you don't get them, we normally have them. We don't have them today. Listen, love and fathers certainly ought to go together. But, you know, here's the thing. Do you really know? You know, love is a complicated thing. Do you know how to love? You know, I mean, what's, you know, Hollywood again, Hollywood's type of love. Hollywood love is not love, it's lust. You know, so that's not learning how to love. How do we know how to love? You know, the Bible says, and we notice that God is love. God is love. How do we really know how to love? The thing with counseling husbands and wives, wives, listen, wives' idea of love is different than yours, men. I don't know if you know that or not, but I'm just giving this. I'm not on the husbands and wives. I'm going to be on the daddies, but this will help you out. Her idea of love and yours is always different, huh? You know, her idea of love ain't a new bass boat in the driveway pretty much most of the time. That's not it, right? Huh? It's not, you know, most of the time it's not a new Harley Davidson either, although Joyce, you might have liked that. You might have liked it and my wife might have liked it. But, it's different than that. And we have to learn what the other spouse wants. And for ladies, hey, listen, your husband's idea of love is not different. A new bass boat is good for him, you know, maybe, if he likes fish. But it's a different thing. We have to learn it. Do we really know how to love our families like God intended us to love? Look what it said in this text in verse 5. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, In the New Testament, the equivalent verse says also with all thy mind. So we can add that thing to it. It says with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy might. That's talking about your innermost being. Your innermost being, how that you love from within, I mean with everything you have. You know, if you love something, man, you just put everything you've got into that thing. I mean, it's, you know, that is it. It's just hard to describe. I remember when I became a father, when my daughter was born, man, first child in Fairfax Hospital, 125 babies a week they delivered. It was like a machine, man. I mean, they popped babies out of there like they were going out of style, and they had like a bucket brigade of nurses from where she was giving birth over to where they weigh them. I mean, the kid popped out, da-da-da-da-da-da, they just handed them off. Boy, you couldn't hardly keep up, man. That thing was flying around there, and most people know what they're getting, so they don't say anything. Well, see, we didn't. We told them we don't want to know. That's like opening up your Christmas presents before Christmas. Man, I ain't doing it. And I said, we'll just wait and find out. You know, hey, we can paint the room in a hurry. So we waited, and she comes out of there. I said, what do I got? They said, it's a girl. I said, hey, praise God, I'm going to tell you something. Instant love. Amen. I mean, she hadn't said a word. They hadn't even got her crying yet. It was just in love. Man, instantly. I'd have fought tooth and nail, died for that child right then. That's love. It just, where did it come from? Okay, that you have that. But, you know, we still have to learn some things. You love them, but, you know, showing it, I guess men are worse. Men are the worst about showing love. We just don't know how to do it. And so we have to deal with that. And so we need to learn that. It says soul, heart, soul, mind, or might, and mind is almost that innermost. Love is also a decision. You have to learn, you have to decide to love. You can say, I've decided not to love. Some people do that. Some people have babies and they didn't feel like I felt. Some people had them, they weren't there. Some people have them and they, you know, the dad's gone or the mother even, you know, doesn't love the child that way. They don't have that same love. What happened? You have to decide. That's what you want to do. You have to decide to love. And listen, when a person trusts Jesus Christ, if we're going to love God, listen, if you want to love God, if you want to follow Jesus Christ, that's a decision you have to make. You decide, hey, I'm going to love God. I'm just going to follow it, decide to love God. I'm going to tell you the best decision you ever made, by the way. It won't be any better than that. But when we do that, I'm going to tell you what happens. The Holy Spirit of God is shed in our, is placed in us. And the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We start to love like God loves. You know how God loves? He sent His only Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins. That's my only Son. If I have to give my son for you, you're in trouble. Huh? It's not happening. I'm not giving. You couldn't do it either. You couldn't give your child. I don't care if you say, well, listen, it's going to save the whole world. You're one child. You couldn't do it. No, I couldn't do it. But God did it. God loved us so much that He gave His only child. And of course, He knew that He resurrected His child. He resurrected His son as well. Listen, you know, we have to learn, you know, we can't, listen, you can't, you'll never do it. I'm not saying that a lost person won't love his wife, but you'll never love your wife like you could love your wife till you learn how to love God. You'll never love your kids like you could love your kids till you learn how to love God, because then the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and you learn how to, once you learn how to, you can't love your neighbors either. I want to say you can't love fellow man until you learn how to love God. Now, loving involves time. I said that before. I was thinking about this, and I've thought about this over two great things. You know, Billy Graham said that the most profound thing in life was how fast time goes by. Man, I mean, there's phases in my kid's life. I remember them being born. If it wasn't for pictures, there would be some bigger gaps, I will say. I remember Danielle being born, and then I remember being about, you know, this tall, maybe 10, 11 years old. And then I remember getting her driver's license, and then I remember getting her married. And there's a few little places in between. I'm going to tell you what, there were some big gaps that just like, what happened? Hey, I got big gaps in my own life. I don't know what happened to the 30s. You know, if you're in there, you know, just you better think about it for a little while, because I'm 60 now, and I don't know where the 30s went. It seemed like only yesterday, but I can't tell you one thing. I don't know what happened. Time goes by fast. Okay? And you know what happened? I didn't spend enough time with my kids when they were young. You know why? I was spending time on me. And the moms, you know the kids a lot of times, you watch it, dads. You watch this when your kids get, when they call the house, they don't call for you. Huh? It's mama's phone ringing. Mama. Every once in a while, you know, why? Because the mama spent all the time with the dad. The mama was putting them in bed. The mama was reading them the bedtime stories. The mom was in there praying. I look back, man, I wish I spent more time praying with my kids. Huh? Besides the meal time, I wish I'd went in the bedroom there and put them to bed and prayed with them, or went in there at least with my wife and done that. Spent some time in there. Time, man. But what happened was, I'm busy living my life, man. You know how it is, man. Man, you've been out there working all day. If you got something, I was a boilermaker for years, man. It's like working in the coal mines, Jack. When you got out of work, I was beat, man. And plus, I'd be driving home thinking, man, when I get home, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And usually this didn't consist of, oh, I'm going to spend quality time with my kids. I mean, I loved them. I'm going to go out there, hey, boy, how you doing, man? How you doing? All right, yeah, beat it. I got something to do. No, I didn't do that. I got something to do. We got quality, you know, but you got stuff. You got your agenda. You better put some time in there with the kids, man, because I'm going to tell you what, they grow up in a hurry. I don't know what happened to those years. It's time. They did a study with middle-aged families to determine how much time that the fathers spent with their small children, not when they got older, you know, maybe fishing, hunting, that kind of thing, but talking about the small kids. How much time the father, they did a study, so they took a survey and said, how much time do you think you spend with your kid? The average guess was 15 to 20 minutes a day. It's what the dad said they felt like they spent. Which that ain't much, is it? But guess what? They put a recorder on them for a certain amount of time, I don't know how, you know, for weeks, a few weeks, to see how much time the dad spent with their kid. Guess what it was? This is middle-aged families. Small kids. 37 seconds a day. 37 seconds a day. 2.7 encounters of 10 to 15 seconds each. What do you think you're going to teach your kids in 37 seconds? I mean, that's unbelievable. What kind of a relationship would you have with anybody for 37 seconds a day? You got more of a relationship with your boss at work than that. You've got more of a relationship it takes you longer than that to get through the checkout line at Walmart. You got more of a relationship with the cashier at Walmart than 37 seconds a day. This is what they found out. Now, you know, there was some exceptions, no doubt. I mean, it was an average thing. I'm sure there's some dads that spent more time with their kids and some that probably spent less. Listen, you can't accomplish anything. To love your family, you got to spend time. Brooks Adams' father was ambassador to Great Britain under Abraham Lincoln. He had written and recounted many times that the best day of his life growing up was the day his dad took him fishing. He said we just talked and we spent time together. That was the best day of his life. Years later, a historian was going through his father, the ambassador's paperwork, and he found his diary. He found a note in his diary about that day. It said, "Went fishing with my son. The day was wasted." That's how the dad looked at it. But you know, before we criticize, man, I mean, if we're only spending 1 minute, 2 minute, 37 seconds, whatever it is a day, even 15, 20 minutes a day interacting with our small kids when they're small, we must be thinking it must be a waste if we're not spending any more time with that. Time, man, listen, loving your family takes time. Now listen, loving God takes time. Yeah. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer. I tell people this all the time, try to get people to say, well, yeah, you know, I believe in God. Listen. How much time you spend praying to Him? You have no relationship with God, no relationship with Jesus Christ if you don't pray. Pray to Him. You don't have any relationship with God if you don't spend time in the Word of God. There's even a time where you just meditate, where you're just thinking about what you read, thinking about things, about God, your relationship with God, and worship right here today. You have to have worship, Word, Bible study, and prayer time to have a relationship with God. You say, well, I have a relationship with God. How much time do you think? Let's have a survey. How much time do you think you spend with God every day? 15, 20 minutes? What about if we put a recorder on? 37 seconds. 37 second prayer, try it. Huh? Pray for 37 seconds. Time your prayer. I'll tell you what, do pray to God one day. Just set off, look at your watch when you start praying. And don't try to pray any longer than you normally do. Just pray like you usually do. See if you beat 37 seconds. Well, I do it twice a day. So 37 is a bunch more. Right? Huh? Try it. I mean, it's not, but think about it. You don't have any relationship. If we only spend that much time with God, we don't have any more of a relationship than somebody spends 37 seconds a day with their kids. It takes time. Any relationship just takes time. So I want to give you that. The second thing is lead. I noticed the reference to fathers in verse 3. It says, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers have promised thee. It used that word fathers. And then over in verse 10, it said, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers. It uses that term in a broad term right there. Moses was speaking to all Israel. And when that word fathers there, it's really meaning everybody in Israel. It means the mothers, the children. It was a general term. And fathers meant the whole family or the whole nation. And because they understood the responsibility, and I want to say this to you, Dad, the privilege of being a father, they understood that. They understood it to mean that the fathers were the leaders of the family. So if it said fathers, they knew that that included the whole family and even up to the whole nation. And the very first thing they had to lead in was spiritual things. Look, it said in verse 6, it told the fathers, and these words which I command these days shall be in thine heart. Thine heart. See, the very first thing is, that we have to have a relationship with God ourselves, Dad. We've got to have a relationship with God. We can't teach it to our children if we don't have it. And that's one of the things about that men's prayer that I was telling you about. The thing about the trying to get the men, listen, lead your family. Your kids are dying to hear you pray. Your kids are dying to see you lead. That we're God. Listen, if God doesn't mean anything to you, he won't mean anything to your kids. Your kids imitate you. Think about this. What's the first thing your children say? The first thing your children say is a word usually they hear you say, Dad or Mom. It does. It's the words that you say. Don't we say stupid stuff? You got to go potty. I got people that tell their dog that. Time for you to go potty? The dog don't potty. You know? See, I see you laughing. I know y'all do it. Huh? We. You know? How about you? You got to have your ba-ba. That's your bottle, by the way. Ain't no wonder our kids. No wonder the American society is going down the drain with our language, right? I ain't got no, you know. That's real educated sounding speech, isn't it? But they do. See, they imitate what you say. Whatever. I remember my pastor years ago preaching about this, about a man. He'd drink all the time. He'd go to this bar all the time, and it was snowing, and he was walking down. He walked down the side of the road to this bar every day, spent time down there drinking. One day he was going, a little boy looked behind him. A little boy was putting his feet in his steps. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm following in your footsteps. Yeah. Yeah, they follow in your footsteps. So where do they learn? So listen, if you don't love God, your children will not love God. If you don't spend time in prayer with your family, guess what, dads? When you have sons, they're not going to spend time. They don't see the importance of it. See, you saw that video. That boy remembered. Remember seeing his daddy praying on his knees. Remember seeing his dad on his knees praying. I'm going to tell you a sad story. I hate to tell it in a way, because I'm going to tell you, I love my dad so much. I never heard my dad pray. I never heard him pray. My mother did. I about fell over when she told me. My mom was having to have heart surgery. That morning, my mom said, they stood in the kitchen. And my dad went to church. Listen, my mom and dad went to church. My dad stood in the kitchen. My mom said, she said that he took her hand and said, I want to pray with you. He's worried. I said, boy, I'd have gave money to hear that. I'd have paid to hear it. I never heard my dad pray. Don't be that dad. Don't be that dad. Pray. You got to pray with your kids. You've got. They're going to follow in your footsteps. Listen. So you have to. The very first thing is you have to teach your children. You have to learn. You have to know God. You have to be saved. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't teach your children. And then it says, where at? Let's look at what it said there. It tells you where to do it. As when thou sittest in thine house, at home, when thou walkest by the way, outside walking down the road, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, I mean all the time, every day, in the home, at bedtime, in the morning, at night. It's not the government's responsibility to teach us about God or your children, and they won't do it anyway. And then it's not the world's responsibility. Listen, the world is teaching your children everything you don't want your children to know. I mean, man alive, you can't watch TV commercials nowadays. I mean, you have to have blinders on your kid every time a commercial comes on, just what's going on that garbage right there. It's not the world's responsibility to do it. It's ours. It's our responsibility. As I said, they imitate, they follow in our footsteps. And then also another responsibility is we provide. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel. You need to provide for your family. I think most of you dads here would do that, want to do that. We have an obligation, food, clothes, shelter, but that's not all. A lot of us stop right there. We have a responsibility to provide spiritual leadership. And it's not, no, I'm glad for the mothers that do it. But boy, it's a lot more powerful when the dad does it. It just sends a bigger picture. Huh? It sends a big picture when the father is the spiritual leader in the house. The importance. Because see, it's contrary. If the mother does it and the dad's not, it's almost like it's diametric, you know. That takes away from what the mother's doing. It doesn't look like it was responsible. It's important to mom, but it's not important to dad. And especially if you're raising a son. Huh? He sees it. And so, provide that spiritual leadership. And you know, we're to be a living illustration of how to love God, love our wife. Listen, your children, dads particularly, and particularly with sons, well, even with daughters, your children, your sons are going to learn how to treat their wives by how they see you treat your wife. They're going to see you, they're going to see how, even your daughters are going to see what kind of a man she ought to marry set by the example of you. This is the kind of man, or they may take something negative for granted that think that's how it's supposed to be, and it doesn't have to be that way. You're the illustration. Then protect the Israelites. Look in verse 9. Here's something you might not have noticed. It says, thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. This is the word of God. And on the gates. If Orthodox Jews put a little box on the door right there by the doorpost when they go in and out of the house. And as they walk, anybody that comes to the house, a Jew, they come up, they touch it. They touch it when they go in. And when they come out, they touch it. And you know what that means? That means it's a sign that that this house is dedicated to God. This house is to be a sanctuary of sorts dedicated to God. And so what it means to us today, we don't literally have to put those, although that wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt if you got a scripture thing anywhere in. I mean, we have them in our house here and there and everything. Don't have one on the doorpost, but all it's saying is this, though. But you protect your children according to the Word of God. And since it's on the doorpost, it means that to watch who and what we let in. Huh? Who and what we let in our home. And I don't care whether it's internet, television, or people. You know, that we guard who what we let in our house or who we let in around our families. And that's important. Make your house a place where God dwells, where the Word of God is taught and honored. Let the Word dictate who and what comes in. A sanctuary for the Lord, where the word is loved and taught and obeyed. And then this last point, and I'll be done. I want to say this. There's a lot more to life. The point is live. The point is live. There's a lot more to the living than breathing and walking, you know. God says this. Listen, he says, I have the abundant life. We are a body, a soul, and a spirit. Most of us are feeding the body pretty good. Huh? The soul and the spirit. You feed on the Word of God right there. We have no spiritual life apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. You just don't have a spiritual life. We're separated from God by sin. Adam and Eve's original sin. We were born sinners. That's it. Separated from God. We don't have a relationship with God, and then we do so many bad things and we end up going to hell. We're separated from God from birth. And when we get to the age of accountability, wherever it is, most of us here are at that place. We already know right from wrong. We have to turn to Jesus Christ, ask Jesus Christ to come into our life to give us, then we have a spiritual birth. He told Nicodemus, said, you must be. If you want to have eternal life, you want to get to heaven, you want to avoid hell, you must be born again. That's a Amen. Spiritual birth. Well, how's that happen? It's when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, come into your life. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. One man prayed, that's all he prayed. Amen. Lord, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He said that man went to his house justified. Huh? Trust in Jesus Christ for what he, that's what he was doing on the cross. He was paying for our sins. And boy, when that happens, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, we're living and breathing now. We're eating and all that and sleeping. But boy, when that spiritual life comes and God puts His Spirit in our heart, that's life now. Life, He said, I come to give the abundant life. Life more abundantly. There's a whole lot more life to be enjoyed. And God said, listen, it's not just all pie in the sky. I'm not just going to give it to you in heaven. I'm going to give you an abundant life down here now. You can know what real joy is. See, we can get happy, but joy, I'm going to tell you what, joy is not operated by circumstances. I mean, we're going to have joy. And that is the life, man. I mean, it's just, you can't explain it hardly. How to feel like you feel when you've been saved, man. The burden is taken off your back. I'll never forget, man. It's a relief, isn't it, Larry? Huh? It's a relief, brother. I mean, thank God, you know, for salvation. That's how much God loves. That's God. You can't call God our Father until you have that child relationship with Him, where you call and ask for forgiveness and ask Him to come into your heart, and that's living. That is living, man. Listen, God's got so much more. And you know, most Christians don't enjoy but just a drop of what God has for them in this life. Put everything in front of God. That 37 seconds a day, God said, listen, I'm trying to give you more. I want to give you more. I want to bless you more. I want to love you more. But man, you can't get it if you're not spending no time with Him. You just can't get it. Huh? If we ever get that figured out right here. Huh? If we ever get it figured out, I'm telling you what, we'll be around each other. I mean, the church will be packed on Sunday morning. It'll be packed with that same crowd on Sunday night. It'll be packed on Wednesday night, Sunday. You won't be able to, you'll be sick of looking at each other. Man, we'll be all around God's people cheering and having a good time. It's just if we ever get it straightened out, we'll be in the Word of God. We'll be a living testimony. We'll be walking through the world. We'll be a light in a dark place. I mean, people will see it and they say, what happened to that guy? Huh? What happened to them, man? What do you got that I don't have? Is whatever you got, I want it. Huh? Yeah. Joy, man, that's what it is. It's the life. Live and love, lead, and live. Those are the three things for the fathers right there. Amen. Let's all stand with their heads bowed, nice clothes. Paul's going to come up.